Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm joined by David Smith.
Hello.
The Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. And Dave, I must admit, I thought Kamala Harris would win the election. You thought otherwise, and you were right.
Well, I was more hopeful. You know, I kept hearing all these reports of Trump winning over a greater segment of the black vote, a greater segment of the Hispanic vote. I saw an interview with a Muslim imam who was concerned about the open borders and the immigrants and the transgender nonsense. And I was dumbfounded. The stereotype, of course, Monty, as you know, that these guys are Democrats. It turned out that a lot of people saw through the lies and the smoke in the mirrors and the media distortions and decided to go ahead and vote for, as one political pundit said, the convicted felon Republican.
Oh, there we go. They just don't give it up. What are you hearing about how Christians turned out in this election?
I haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
I don't know what the turnout was.
But there was a lot of concern before the election that like 40-some million Christians were expected to sit the election
out. That's right. So hopefully some pastors addressed this in their pulpits. Certainly Christian news sites were making a big deal about it. IFI wrote an article about it and tried to get people to understand that we have a privilege and a civic responsibility, a biblical duty to vote in the election. It's not something we can just sit out and say, well, it's all in God's hands. We have to take responsibility and be good stewards of what God has given us. And that's the gift of self-government.
Despite some of Mr. Trump's failings.
There's plenty. Believe me, we're not electing a pastor. Jesus is not on the ballot, as some people said. He's far from perfect, but he was the better candidate than Kamala Harris. His policies, Trump's policies, the Republican Party policies are eons better than the Democrat policies and what Kamala has advocated over the years and decades that she's been an elected official.
Well, it was a resounding victory for Mr. Trump, but now we will have GOP control of the U.S. Senate.
Can I quote President Joe Biden? Everything's going to be okay. We just got to stay engaged. And I agree with that sentiment. Of course, he's talking to his left-wing base. I'm talking to our Christian conservative friends. Look, Donald Trump is elected.
Phew. Right.
Right? But this does not give us permission to sit back and take our foot off the gas pedal. We need to work and engage the culture. Because think about this, Monty. Over 2 million people voted for Donald Trump in Illinois. This is markedly better than we've done in the past. Yet, they still voted for those three referendum questions, and the IVF one, 3.5 million people voted for that. So many people who voted for Donald Trump also voted for mandating IVF coverage for health companies. There's a lot of work to be done. People don't
understand.
They don't understand. They do not have a biblical worldview. Okay, and we need to continually strive for a better biblical worldview.
Well, the problem with IVF, not only that it's the mandate, it's that human embryos are often destroyed.
That's right, absolutely. So many are created in order to implant, and the hope is, even with multiple implantation, just a couple might, or just one might take root and turn into a pregnancy. So in the process, we've got lots of discarded or miscarried embryos.
Well, how do we stop that from becoming law?
Well, we just have to lobby and work very diligently with our state lawmakers trying to educate them. That's number one. Number two, we need to work diligently and educate the people in the pews in Illinois, and then hopefully that will overflow into the culture as well. I do believe that there are a lot of Christians out there, and many of them are well-intended to, they want to have a family, but they have problems getting pregnant. And so they turn to IVF. Well, we need to be able to educate them of the high cost. the one side is saying you can get pregnant with this reproductive treatment. The other side is you can destroy a lot of human embryos in the process to get pregnant.
Trump will be in the White House. We have a Republican control of the U.S. Senate.
Think about how important that is for a second, Monty.
Yeah.
Think about that. If we didn't get the U.S. Senate as well, the Republican Party lost control or didn't regain control. Trump's cabinet members, would they be approved? Trump's judicial appointments, would they be approved?
His Supreme Court nominees.
Supreme Court, how about ambassadors?
All that.
All that would have been at stake. But with the control of the Senate, that's not going to be a problem. All those things are going to be able to get through. Praise God. Now, if they finally determine who controls the House, we might be able to even do other things.
Well, the House controls the purse strings.
That's right.
And impeachment inquiries and what have you.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Is Trump and his administration going to seek revenge on some of these Democrats that were ruthlessly coming after him? I kind of hope they don't. I hope they focus on what they can do good for the culture in the country. Close the border, change education laws, give us that homeschool credit or voucher, if you will.
I want to get into that. There's a common belief that Mr. Trump, as well as GOP victors, won on immigration, crime,
The economy,
those things. Do you think religion played a factor at all?
I hope so. I hope that people were looking at the other cultural issues, the transgender issue, the abortion issue. But I can't tell you. I have not read the exit polling data. So,
what social issues would you like to see Republicans address in the U.S. House and in the Senate?
Well, I think Trump is on fire for stopping biological men playing in girls' sports. I hope they make a decisive decision, a clear decision on that, and do away with it. I hope they also implement only two pronouns, you know, he and she.
That may not happen, but what about privacy issues?
Well, no, I think that's part of their plan is to mandate in federal law there's only male and female, which is biblical. I mean, that's, you know, and it's true. There's only male and female. There's nothing else.
It's science.
You know, get over it. I think they'll also go after taxpayer funding of abortion. And I think that the policy that the Biden administration has had about abortion and transgender surgeries and all these other things for military.
Parents' rights.
Parental rights would be very important for them to pursue. Absolutely.
Especially in the gender issues, your kid having surgeries or hormone treatments without your knowledge.
I know that Donald Trump has also said something about sanctuary cities or states. Illinois is a sanctuary state, thanks to a Republican in name only governor named Bruce Rauner. I don't know what they're going to be able to do other than maybe to tie the purse strings to a mandate. If you don't rescind your sanctuary state policies, you don't get federal dollars for this, and this.
Governor Pritzker and his fellow Democratic governors, Gavin Newsom, for example, are promising resistance.
Yes, yeah, or new scum, as Donald Trump calls them. No, I want to be kind.
I like his hair.
Yeah. So Governor Newsom has already announced to the world that he is going to try to Trump-proof California. Governor J.B. Pritzker also announced that he is not going to put up with any of Donald Trump's nonsense, quote-unquote, and that if he comes after my people, he's got to go through me, is what J.B. Pritzker said. And I don't identify as one of his people. So do you, Monty? I'm not too worried about it.
Well, here's the thing. What are they coming after us for? Because we want lower taxes? Because we want employment, good jobs for everybody. We want a sane border.
The only people I think he'd come after in Illinois are the illegal aliens that he wants to deport. And so is J.B. Pritzker really lumping those folks into my people category?
I wonder if this is really all about abortion. They're thinking that maybe not Trump, but maybe he'll get a push from GOP lawmakers that we have to protect life.
Missouri, unfortunately, approved of their constitutional amendment to allow abortions to go on in that state. And so St. Louis will now be having, you know, a Planned Parenthood and offering mothers in a crisis to murder their babies. So that's going to affect, obviously, the Southern Illinois Planned Parenthoods and facilities as well. They don't have to travel as far, you know, to come into Illinois to kill their children. They can just stop in St. Louis.
Well, this is Illinois Family Spotlight. We want to continue our conversation about the election and what's ahead right after this.
With a woman to look at culture from a Christian worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. It's 2024, but there's still life lessons to be learned from TV's Blossom. Recently on her podcast, Mayim Bialik described how she talks to her kids about drugs and alcohol. Quote, "While alcohol and weed may not land you in an overdose situation in the hospital, they are the most insidious things because our media tells us that they're good, smart, wise, and okay, and we're given every excuse to numb. I don't care if you tell me weed's not addictive. Not feeling pain is addictive," end quote. See, for a generation raised on glowing screens, 24-hour news cycle, and millions of other distractions, mentally checking out can be intoxicating. That's why teenage marijuana use is at its highest in 30 years, leading to an increase in mental health issues like paranoia and hallucinations. We have to help the next generation know that it's normal to feel bad or bored sometimes. And numbness, well, that only delays the pain. I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, along with David Smith.
Yeah, hello.
Dave continues to be the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. We're talking about the aftermath of the election and what happens next. Let me ask you this, Dave. Does the Trump and GOP victory in the U.S. Senate, maybe the U.S. House, as of this recording, spell the end of the Equality Act and a proposed federal pro-abortion law?
Yes, for now. for the next several years, 2 to 4 years for sure. I don't think they'll get any traction when they introduce that kind of legislation in Congress again, especially if Republicans hold both chambers of Congress. Yeah.
Good news. And there's talk among Democrats that maybe Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor should step down in advance of the inauguration so that Democrats, who now control the U.S. Senate, could put in
a younger version.
A younger lefty version of Sotomayor.
Yeah. I don't know if you can get much further left than Sotomayor, but yeah, I'm sure the pressure is going to be on her in the next month here, till January 20th, to step down.
Well, what about Trump? I was hearing some discussion that, you know, Justice Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito getting up there in years. What do you think? Should they step down in a couple years to allow Trump to put in their replacements while Republicans control the U.S. Senate?
I don't like suggesting that. I have kind of a loyalty to these guys who have been so good, especially Clarence Thomas. I'm a big fan of his, and I'm reluctant to believe he's getting older. But it happens. I know.
I'm 68 now. Somehow it happened.
Yeah, you know what? And Scalia's death was such a shock when it happened. Again, huge fan of that guy.
I believe that one of the best things that Donald Trump and his fellow Republicans could do for the pro-life cause, at least in the short term, is to restore free speech.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure Elon Musk is going to be in his ear telling him where he can unloosen the screws. Maybe not tighten the screws, but unloosen the screws. The left has been on a roll lately trying to categorize certain speech as hate speech or misinformation speech. And, of course, misinformation speech can be dangerous speech. And therefore, it needs to be quashed, silenced, censored. That is so alarming because much of what we have to say here would be classified as hate speech or misinformation or what have you. Think about what happened during the COVID crisis. There were people sounding the alarm about quick rollout of the so-called vaccine. And yet we know now, in fact, a couple of those products have been pulled from the shelves because they were hurting people.
And we weren't allowed to question it.
And no question. You can't question it. The freedom to be wrong is guaranteed in the Constitution. Sorry.
And you think, from a pro-life perspective, what our General Assembly tried to do, at least Democrats in the General Assembly, was to essentially shut down pro-life pregnancy care centers.
That's right. That's
because
right.
they engaged, allegedly,
right, exactly.
in
great,
disinformation
great
and
yep.
misinformation.
Yeah, that's right, because they're misleading them on what services they provide.
One of the sleeper issues during the campaign was education choice, and J.D. Vance met with black pastors in Pennsylvania in particular on that issue. And there's a belief by some that played kind of a big role in President Trump's victory in Pennsylvania.
I did not know that.
Thinking,
I'm not surprised.
No.
When you see the horrific proficiency scores in our government schools.
Reading, writing, math.
That's right. In science, they're failing our children. And yet they're graduating them, just social promotion. It's nothing more than that. It's not because merit. Many kids in our government schools are graduating unprepared, unequipped to get a job, even a basic job. They have every right to be concerned. I'm hoping also, as I've heard here and there, maybe they're going to scale back, reduce, or eliminate the Federal Department of Education, which would be great. Or maybe they will turn it into something else to fund even private education or education
choice. Ronald Reagan
choice.
Promised that. It never happened.
I know. But it was created under Jimmy Carter. And so it's not that old for those of us who have been around the block a few times, right, Monty? That would be a great step. And I could understand why the black pastors were encouraged by any talk of education choice.
I'm thinking from my pro-life point of view, that this is a long-term strategy to promote life. You think about it. You're getting kids out of these government schools that promote try-it-out sex ed, yep. and they tell kids that abortion is a good thing.
That's right.
And if you get that indoctrination away from the kids and yep. into a Christian school or whatever kind of school, homeschool, whatever, that could have a very big impact long-term for the pro-life cause.
On their worldview, on their values, and many of these kids will be pulled out of government secular indoctrination and placed into maybe even Christian education. And, of course, biblical worldview is so much better. And then if you have a biblical worldview, you're not going to fall for the lies of the abortion lobby.
What do you think could be a couple pitfalls for the new administration and the GOP majority?
Not to get drawn into revenge tactics. I can tell you,
I would understand why they wanted revenge.
Oh, I do. To go after Adam Schiff, congressman from California, who lied, knowingly lied about Donald Trump's connection with Russia, and that kind of stuff. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to expose him and do an investigation and find all the emails and correspondence.
And all this lawfare against President Trump.
Listen, revenge, but you know what? The best revenge is if he just advances his policies and gets the American system back on track.
Gets the electorate behind him even
the
more.
The economy back on track, the borders secured, and education, all that.
Do you have any hope that the election and what happened? It was a blowout for Republicans, essentially, will bring the Democratic Party back to some level of common sense and becoming less hostile to Christians and other people of faith.
So I saw a clip on The View, the women of The View, in one of the hosts there. I don't know.
Well, they identify as women.
Well, I'm going to identify them as women. One of the hosts was saying, we got to be introspective. We got to look within. What did we fail? And the others were just saying, no. This is what's happened. This is what happened. And pointing fingers at different places. So I know there are some people in the Democratic Party who are trying to look within and see where they went wrong. There are others who want to point fingers to everyone from Kamala to Joe Biden to Barack Obama. Yeah, you're the one that did this. But the fact is, I keep hearing this point, the Democratic Party left its base and abandoned middle-class workers in America. And they have embraced and they have become the party of college-educated elite. And they need to pull back. Will they? I don't know. It seems to me that both parties have become more polarized, right? It seems like the Democrats have gone further left, the Republicans have gone further right. And by the way, I was watching WGN News reports just briefly during the election night returns, and they had Pat Brady, former Republican chairman who betrayed the Republican values. They had Jim Durkin, another rhino, on there. Then they had Aaron Del Mar on there, who was a solid, good guy. The two rhinos were complaining about Trump and making excuses. Now, I'm not a Trump fan. I don't like him in this. And I kept thinking to myself, holy cow. Those guys are have-beens and out of the system now. There's a reason, because the Republican Party has gone more right as well, conservative, and purged those kind of actors out.
But conservative under Trump has kind of a new definition.
It does.
It's like pro-worker now. I would say a little more pro-union, at least private sector union.
Yeah, right.
My goodness.
The government union people were at the Kamala speech at the in Washington, D.C.
Okay,
The
mall. Right.
Yeah, on the mall, that's right.
Yeah. Well, after the voting here in Illinois, Democrats, I hate to go here, still have a supermajority in the General Assembly.
Yeah, enough. It's the status
quo. No congressional seats were flipped from blue to red. So what does that mean for conservatives?
Well, no congressional seats, no state House, no state Senate seats were flipped either. So it's the status quo. Everything remained the same, other than Donald Trump certainly got a greater portion of the vote total in Illinois. But that's it. You know, we've got a lot of work to do to educate people, to disciple people, to instill a biblical worldview in people in Illinois.
But President Trump increased his vote totals from 2020 here in Illinois.
Yep.
You know, there were a lot of Republican votes in Cook County, no less.
Yep. I heard three wards where over 45% of the vote went to Donald Trump. Three Chicago wards out of 50.
So does that send a message to Democratic lawmakers in our General Assembly and maybe even to Governor Pritzker that, hey.
Okay, yes. So it does send a message. The question is, are they listening? And are they receiving the message that is being told? Or are they going to flip it around and blame somebody else?
Well, another issue is that the newly elected Cook County State's Attorney, Eileen O'Neill Burke, is promising to create what she calls a choice protection unit that would not only intimidate life activists who pray outside an abortion center or maybe they have a bullhorn or whatever, but it would also fight legal actions taken by life activists. What's your reaction to her election and this potential choice, her words, protection unit?
Well, I think it's highly discriminatory because they're targeting people of faith. They're targeting people on this one particular issue of human life, the sanctity of human life. They do not challenge the Antifa people, the Black Lives Matter people, and other, how about the pro-Palestinian protesters. There are plenty of protests in Chicago, closings of streets, bullhorns, loudness, all these things all the time. I think it's very apparent that they selectively prosecute who they want to prosecute.
And the thing about real pro-life activists, they're not engaging in violent activities.
Oh, they're not. No.
Compared to Antifa and what have you.
These people are pleading for the life of the unborn, trying to rescue those stumbling towards death.
You think this unit would hold up in court?
I don't think so. The pro-life activists are not physically inhibiting or engaging in any physical activity. I don't see how, or trespass activity, how any of that could be illegal.
One of the purposes is the intimidation factor. You show up and we're going to be watching you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
If you're out there praying, we're going to put you on a list.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, Illinois has the so-called Reproductive Health Act. Seemingly, it protects all aspects of abortion in Illinois.
There are no regulations on abortion in Illinois. None.
What else could they go for? Hard to say. But they'll come up with something.
So they're trying to start on the other end of life now with this physician-assisted suicide proposal, which so far has not gotten any traction in Illinois, but that's not going to stop them. They're going to keep pushing that kind of legislation in order to reduce or to eliminate costly senior citizens, costly disabled people, and these kind of things, so they can continue their bloodshed.
You think the health insurers are the ones behind this effort?
Well, it could be, absolutely. I don't know if it's the main impetus. Look, you know, disabled person who needs to be on a respirator or in a wheelchair and have to have all kinds of medications to make their life comfortable and living, well, you know, you're just too expensive to take care of. We would be better off without you, and those resources going to somebody who really needs it.
It goes from the right to die to it's your duty to die.
Yeah, your duty. I like that word. Yep, duty. Obligation to die.
For the good of the state.
Yeah, right.
You need to die.
Well, that's one of my concerns about the whole organ donor situation, which has helped a lot of people. But how many times have doctors said in the OR, well, you know, we can save 5 lives with this guy's organs, and chances of him recovering are not so good.
I got a friend who could use that kidney.
Well, I do, too. I do, too. Yeah.
Right. A couple other things that concern me with the legislature is the idea of legal prostitution in our General Assembly. They're considering that in our General Assembly.
Well, it's not been introduced yet, and I'm expecting it next year. Of course, they're not calling it prostitution, Monty. They're calling it sex work. It's work. Work is dignified. You know, the funny thing is, Monty, public health departments around the nation have been sounding the alarm about the 80-year high level of syphilis infections.
And STDs on the rise?
Well, they're called STIs now.
Okay.
Sexually transmitted infections. Even the Cook County Department of Public Health is sounding the alarm on syphilis. The AIDS Foundation of Illinois has sounded the alarm on syphilis. They have a billboard in downtown Chicago talking about syphilis is a horrible thing. I didn't know you can get syphilis. What in the world is that? Anyway, if we followed God's model of sexuality, abstinence until marriage and then monogamy thereafter, you don't have to worry about this. It's only having multiple partners, and of course, it's more pronounced in the homosexual community, men having sex with men. So think about legalizing sex work, Monty. STIs will just explode even further. They've been warning about this monkeypox thing too, right?
But, you know, here's the argument I think they're going to make.
Okay.
Yes, their STIs are on the rise, but if we would legalize sex work, they would be required to see a health specialist, and we could control this and make sure they get the proper medication and proper safeguards are put in place. And we could prevent a lot of that and unwanted pregnancies.
And all we need is more of your tax resources.
We could tax it, unionize it.
Help us get the message out. Help us give condoms out. Help us to educate your kids in school about safe, quote unquote, sex.
They're going to make all those arguments. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Instead of saying, oh, yeah, abstinence works. But you know what? Actually, on the Cook County Public Health website, it does say abstain from anal, vaginal, whatever, oral sex. Well, I'm sitting there going, well, yeah, duh. Don't engage in the risky behavior and you won't get the disease.
There you go. What's on the plus side for Illinois? What do we got going for us, Dave,
post-election? It's only up, Monty. We can only go up from here. No, I don't know. We have our freedoms. We have homeschool freedoms. We have our religious liberties. We have our church communities. We have so many freedoms and benefits of living in this great country. Yeah, Illinois politics and public policy are irritating beyond measure. I get it. But you know what? We can make our difference in our local. By the way, Monty, we have consolidated elections coming up early next year.
That's right, April 1.
So we have library board, school board, probably trustees, village trustee, village mayor, all these things that are in those elections usually have a terrible turnout. We can have a great influence on those elections. By the way, we need good people, honest and wise people, to run for those offices. And most of your taxes go to those local bodies, our real estate taxes at least. It would really be good to have Christian conservative voices in all those legislative units.
If you're not a candidate for one of those local offices, township trustee, library board, school board, you need to make sure you vote.
Right.
But also know what the candidates stand for.
Yeah, and then get behind one of those good candidates and help them cross the finish line ahead of the other guy.
A handful of votes could really determine the outcome of those races.
And by the way, sometimes there's only one candidate running for that office, so there isn't really a contested race. Listen, we've had in my township nobody run for library board in a couple of races, and so they appoint people. Well, that's probably not the best idea.
You still think that Illinois is worth fighting for?
It's, you know, where the Lord has placed us, and he wants us to be faithful, and, you know, it's a mission field, and we have lots of opportunities here. So I would urge listeners, get to know your local lawmakers, get to know your local officials. You can be a blessing to them and a source of good information. And I would also encourage you to be a blessing to your church leaders. Encourage them, pray for them, coax them to speak out, even in little ways. For example, in advance of an election, just simply say, make sure you vote and vote your biblical values. That's it. And when it comes from the senior pastor or the head guy at your church, there's gravitas there. And I've seen it. And people sit up and take notice. Ooh, pastor's saying this is important. I better take note.
Maybe this is a good time to meet with your lawmakers in advance of the legislative session.
Absolutely. They should know you. They should know who you are. They should know that you're a Christian and a conservative, but you're not one of those caricatures, right? That you're praying for them. You want to be their friend. You want to encourage them. They're not our enemies. The policies they implement are hurtful, damaging, outright wicked. But if you have a somewhat reasonable elected official, you can go and speak to them, get to know them, foster a relationship, put pebbles in their shoes with regard to public policy and also the gospel message. They need to hear it. They need to hear it.
Amen. We'll let you know about upcoming legislation if you get our emails.
Yep.
Go to IllinoisFamily.org.
That's right. The veto session is coming up, and so there could be stuff. There's nothing to veto, Monty. The governor signed everything that was sent to him, so you might say he cleaned his plate.
He's cleaned his plate a couple times.
Yeah, well, I'm guilty as charged, too. So they may introduce legislation to Trump-proof Illinois, too. I don't know what that looks like, because I don't know how much more liberal we can get in Illinois, but stay tuned. We'll tell you.
They'll find a way. All right. Well, Dave, to close things out, reminder, we have a big event coming up March 8th. That's Saturday, March 8th at Belmont Bible Church, our annual Worldview Conference.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. The title of the conference is The High Calling of Marriage and Family. It's going to feature Dr. Brad Wilcox and our good friend Scott Phelps. Regarding Dr. Wilcox, last year we had Nancy Piercy, Professor Nancy Piercy, and she was wonderful, so good. And if you haven't seen the YouTube videos, go check them out. Well, I knew who Dr. Brad Wilcox was, but she works closely with him. Turns out he is a egghead, too. He's a very wonky professor. His new book is called Get Married, subtitle, Why Americans Must Defy the Elites, Forge Strong Families, and save civilization.
Through marriage.
That sounds like a biblical calling to me. Come on, please. Come to this Worldview Conference. Bring your children. Bring your grandchildren. Know what's going on. Have a better understanding. And let's save civilization.
Let's save America. That's Saturday, March 8th, Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. If you'd like more information, you can give us a call at 708-781-9328. Or go to our website, IllinoisFamily.org, and click events. You'll find it right there.
That's right.
And
in the list of other events.
All right. A lot of other events, too.
That's right.
Well, thank you for supporting the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations, by the way, are tax deductible. And tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
Sorry.
I'd leave that in.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.